And thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, possibly even millions of people, have since become Christians because of those few words. The tongue has power to direct, and it can be negative, but it can also be very positive. Those verses in Proverbs are all very important. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Do you remember we talked about this with Hitler and the end of the First World War? And he could have, the French and the Allies could have been a little bit kinder to Germany, but they just rammed their point home. And it stayed with Adolf Hitler so strongly that when he came to take the surrender of France some years later, he wanted it in exactly the same place, exactly the same train carriage, everything exactly the same. And he said, what they did to Germany, I am now going to do to them. And if that just hadn't happened, if they just would have been a little bit softer, a little bit gentler, maybe the Second World War would have turned out very, very different. The tongue is like a rudder or a bit in a horse's mouth. It can direct the lives of many people. The second thing is it has the power to destroy. James goes on, doesn't he? He talks about the tongue being a fire. Being a fire, or being that poisonous animal. This is in verses 5-8. Behold, how great a fire, how great a forest a little fire kindles. Have you ever seen those pictures on the news, or even in person maybe, of forest fires that go across miles and miles and miles and miles and miles of like Californian forests or Australian forests, the outback. They go on in Africa, they go on for miles and miles sometimes. Bambi. I hate Bambi. Can't watch Bambi. It's too sad. It makes me cry every time. But that's huge fire. And if you ask people in California, how did this fire start? They'll say, oh, someone didn't put their little campfire out. Tiny little campfire eats up miles and miles and acres of forest. Or, even worse, someone didn't put out their cigarette properly and threw it out of their car window, and the forest fire just started up and ruined miles and miles and hundreds of years of tree growth and all those animals killed and displaced and because of a cigarette. A little fire has a big effect. It's really, really amazing. There was a fire in Chicago, actually, in October 1871. And it started with a spark in a barn, one little barn in Chicago. And it spread and left over 100,000 people homeless, 17,500 buildings destroyed, 3,000 people died, cost the city $400 million, Chicago fire. And that was the fire that P.P. Bliss was in when that fire hit, when his family went across to England and he had to stay behind because of that fire. And his family were killed, and then he wrote, It Is Well With My Soul, on the way to meet his wife again. Our words can start fires. It's important. I'm trying to move along quickly here, so bear with me. It starts small, and it grows, and it gets hotter, and it gets hotter. You can decorate it away, but even though you decorate it away, there's still something left behind, isn't there? There's a bit of a residue. Did you manage to get rid of the smell of yours, Pauline? Yeah, you're free and clear now. Yeah, bravo. Bravo. Sorry? You can breathe now. Good. Excellent. But it leaves something behind. So even if you manage to repair some bad words, some difficult words, some hard words, sometimes it just leaves a bit of a residue behind in people. So it's important that we watch what we say and how we say it. Fire spreads. And if you give it more fuel, it will spread faster and further. The tongue sets on fire the course of nature, James says in chapter 3, verse 6. Or sets the whole course of our lives on fire. Has a knock-on effect. So we need to be really careful. The you know the book Mein Kampf? Who wrote Mein Kampf? Hitler, absolutely. Did you know, though, that for every word that Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf, 125 lives were lost in World War II? I'm going to say that again. It's unbelievable. For every word in Mein Kampf, 125 lives were lost in World War II. It's unbelievable how that fire can keep on growing and destroying. That's what the fire of words can do. Let our words be full of grace, seasoned with salt. Colossians 3, verse 6. You ever been to a safari park? Yeah? Whipsnade, you know, somewhere like that. One of those safari parks where you pull in your car and there's all these wild animals in enclosures, and you pull in and you drive through and you think to yourself, oh, going to the safari park, that'll be nice. It's all very safe and all very nice because this is in the middle of, you know, the British countryside. You know, it should be fine. Lord Bath wouldn't let anything happen to me at Longleat. There are a few of these safari parks around. But they have lions roaming loose. They have elephants walking free. They have giraffes and monkeys and all sorts of, what is dangerous creatures walking free in these enclosures. And you drive your car into them. And you think to yourself, oh, I'm in the car. And I'm in the middle of England. This is not the African bush. Should be fine. But as you drive your car into the enclosure, there are about 30 signs saying, do not open your windows. Do not stop your car. Do not get out of your car. Because although we are in England, and although we are in controlled conditions in some sense, we still have to watch because they are still wild animals. We still have to treat them with respect. And that's what James says of the tongue as well. Doesn't matter where you are or what the situation, you still need to watch because the tongue is still a wild animal. Keep your windows shut. Keep yourself inside the safe area, inside the car, because the tongue is still a wild animal. The tongue can still be a destroyer. The tongue can still do damage. So watch what you're saying. Next one. The third pair that James refers to is not a negative thing at all. In one sense, it says, the tongue has power to delight. And in this section, verses 9 to 12, James talks about a fountain and a tree. The tongue is like a fountain. And just like a fountain gives pure water or gives dirty water, mucky water, salty water. Yeah. It only gives one type of water. Doesn't do both. And this is James encouraging us not to do the two things, not to speak nicely and then speak badly, and then speak nicely and then speak badly. He says, you only have one type of water coming out of you. And when you speak, make sure that the water coming out of you is life-giving water, or should actually the words that are coming out of you are life-giving words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Water cleanses, water refreshes, water helps and heals and cleans, and our words can do the same thing. He also talks about a tree. A tree doesn't give just one, doesn't give multiple types of fruit. It's either an apple tree or a pear tree. And it's what the root is doing that determines whether it's an apple tree or a pear tree. It's built into the DNA. It's right from the beginning. It's not, you don't plant an apple tree and then somewhere down the road it thinks to itself, oh, hang on a minute, I'll get some pears this year, I think. It does the same thing, because the fountain and the tree, the waterfall and the tree, the spring and the tree are both consistent. They do what they are designed to do, and they don't mix up two things. I'm going to give you finally 12 words that can transform your life so that you can become the right kind of tree, the right kind of fountain, so that your tongue will guide you and lead you like a bit or like a rudder in the right direction, so that your tongue will not destroy like a fire and will not harm like a poison animal. These 12 words will transform your life if you can use them regularly and let them season your conversation like salt on a pile of chips. There you go. 12 words that will transform your life. Please, thank you, I'm sorry, I love you, I'm praying for you. Not just as words, but with sincerity, with meaning. When you say please and thank you, you are treating people like people and not just taking them for granted. You're being appreciative. When you say I'm sorry, you're breaking down walls and building bridges, rather than building walls and breaking bridges. When you say I love you, not talking about romantic love, but true Christian love. I love you is a statement that is very powerful when it's said with sincerity. And I'm praying for you, but don't just say it, be sure that you're doing it as well. And if you are talking to God about people, or talking to people about God, these words will help you to represent God in the right way to people and represent people in the right way before God. You're sort of standing in between the two. The tongue is the smallest member of the body, but it's the biggest troublemaker in all the world. It doesn't have to be a troublemaker. If you can master these words, you'll find a way to direct others in the right direction, and you will be directed in the right direction yourself. That's quite a challenge for you. This is why you never preach on James. We're going to conclude today with a hymn, but we're not going to stand up, we're going to sit to sing it. Singing it really like a prayer, that God will help us with our words, with the way that we represent him before people, the way we represent people to him, and see if we can invite his Holy Spirit to come and work in our lives, to see life and light replacing the fire, replacing the animal, replacing the things that are negative.